Hi, and welcome to Access Chat. I'm delighted that we're joined today by Hani Bagchandani. Hani, you're joining us from India. It's late for you, but quite late for me too, because I'm still in a place where I'm not normally. So great to have you with us. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do, and particularly, Deborah's told me that you work on assistive technology. Can you tell us a little bit about this work that you're doing?
Definitely. Thank you so much for inviting. It's really a pleasure to be here. So we make innovative and affordable assistive aids for persons with different disabilities. So we have one product which is helping a blind person to walk independently in any scenario. And it will help them to identify what is coming in front of them through different patterns of vibration. So a blind person can walk anywhere, in any scenario, independently. From this product, to we have communication product for hearing and speech impaired people. So this is the smart gloves. With the help of smart gloves, a hearing and speech impaired person can communicate with anyone at the ease. At the same time, we have also the smart crutches, which is for locomotive impaired people, which allows them to go to anywhere. Like, these smart crutches are very, very sleep resistant. So we have product for visual impaired, hearing impaired, to locomotive impaired. We have multiple products.
But how did you end up in this space? You know, what motivated you to solve and address and support people with disabilities?
Lovely question, Antonio. So I did an internship in a blind school, and I was assigned to a task to make admin work more accessible so we can hire more blind person. So I was working with a blind person under a blind person. So I was at the time, I was in third year of engineering. I had no connections to disability. I just got into the one NGO and they assigned me a task for 2 months, 8 weeks. So I was working with them, and I felt like I want to do something for this community because it is so near. First time I was working with blind person, under blind person. And it is, and I was eating together, like we were eating together, going to work office together, living office together, and hang out together. So, but suddenly one day, one of my colleague, the name is Ganesh, is a blind. He came to the work. I got to know on the second day he met with an accident. So while he is coming home to office, he met with an accident and he got 7 stitches on his head. So it made me think, realize, like, why there is no product available which could avoid this kind of object or obstacle, like accidents. So at the same day, like on the other day, I mentored with one of the blind professor. Like, he was a mentor to us, and I talk about this problem and this scenario, like, which happened with the Ganesh. He met with an accident. So he said, this is very common with us blind person. And he was showing his other marks. See, I was young. I was going to college. I got this injury. I was doing work. I was in the bank. And one day, bank door was half open, half empty. So I hit, and here I got another 2 stitches. So I was shocked. This is not normal. So this is not a good thing you can promote everywhere, right? You met with an accident, and this is not good. Sometimes you might lose your life or memory or something, whatever can happen. This is not a thing you should be proud, right? These are the accident. So we are living in 21st century. We are talking about smartwatches, smartphones, smart cities, and everything. Why not your cane, simple cane, is still from last 500 is the same. Why not we can add sensors into this, and it becomes smart. It will tell you what is happening in front of you. So you might go independently everywhere without fear of bumping into anything. Like whether it is a dog, whether it is any hanging object, whether it is any object. So you will be become 100% independent. So this is what made me to think in this domain. Like I can do something. Being an engineering background, I was a robotics president, a robotic club president in university. So in three days, I made a prototype. It was actually a torch. So I removed the light and put the ultrasonic sensor. And within 3 days, I made the prototype and went back to the blind school where I was doing internship. And I saw that this is what I prepared in 3 days. Like, it might be a solution for this kind of problem. And they were very happy. And they didn't... I don't know why, but... all of 300 blind students, like in their blind school, there are 300 blind students. No one has seen such kind of the product, and they were very happy. They are blessing me like anything. Like I am a something who creates a very innovative product for them, and for me, it's not an innovation. It's just plug and play. At 3 days, there's no innovation can happen, right? So that made me think, realize in this sector, a lot of technology can be imparted, and no one is thinking this sector as a seriously. So this is what my and I'm coming from a business background. My father is a businessman. My grandfathers were businessmen. So we are one of the richest community, the richest business community of India. So I'm coming from this business background. So I made a clear point. There is a demand. There is a supply I can provide. And there's a huge market gap where no one is looking after. Huge, huge marketplace. So being a third year engineering student, I thought, why not I can make this product commercialized? So I went back to my university and I showed this idea. And then they appreciated and they said, okay, why not we can fund you? So they gave me roughly around 25 lakh rupees of grant, which is around $80,000 or $65,000. They gave me. And with this $65,000, they gave the grant to me. And I started officially a startup in my third year. So this a torch become a Torchit as a company, and the product name become a Sarthi, which is an Indian name, a Sanskrit name, which means a true companion. So this is how a Sarthi is evolved. After 16 iteration, after 16 prototypes, we have launched 17th prototype as a final product. And today, this Sarthi, which means true companion, help more than 120,000 blind person, not only in India, but in 30 plus countries. I might be wrong, 35, 37, something. So 37 countries, we have impacted more than 120,000 blind person. So where is the huge marketplace, which I discovered by just doing an internship? And then I got to realize, like, there are a lot of requirement in this sector. And I hit the right dots. So this is how we have multiple products in multiple disabilities.
Honey, I welcome to the show. I know that I've been watching you and your beautiful wife in this field for a few years, and I'm very impressed with what you're doing. And what I find interesting about it is we have some solutions in developed countries like the US and the UK. But getting it into the hands of the people that really need it continues to be a really big problem. And we often see that assistive technology is not really available, for example, for the Indian market or the Portuguese market or the, you know, we see it available for a few, but not across the board. And so I was... I'm curious if you've seen that as well, a need to make sure there are solutions that work in your own country for the people that, you know, your people. But at the same time, what can the United States and other countries that have some of these products, what can they learn from the innovation that you're doing in India? Because you don't have access to a lot of the same things that, say, the United States has access to. So that part I've always been fascinated with, and I have been watching over the last couple of years what you have been doing. But it feels like you're solving a problem that needs to be solved on the ground. And exactly. I like that it's being picked up on 30 countries too, but go ahead, honey.
Yeah, so basically the products are available in the United States or, say, example, developed part of the world are super expensive.
Yes.
If we talk about the assistive technology, first thing is the affordability. They're not affordable.
Right.
So whether you say a standing wheelchair or motorized wheelchair or any assistive aid for Braille or anything you say, they're not affordable. So this fellow, 300 fellows, like, are studying in a school, and they didn't heard about this kind of product, which I developed in 3 days. So these products are available in the Western world. I didn't realize. And it was very shocking to me. These products are available at $500, $700, $1,200. And I was not believing the prices, because I was thinking we can sell this product less than $20 or $30. But at the same time, this similar kind of product available in the UK, which is selling at £700, available in the Europe, like German product, which is selling at $1,200. These products are not affordable in majority of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the blind population, say it about any developed countries, say it like Singapore. Even we are selling our product in Singapore, or even, say, example, Hong Kong. A blind person in Hong Kong cannot spend $1,200 on this mobility cane. Majorly. I'm talking about the majorly. A blind person in Hong Kong cannot afford the product of $1,200. How can anyone think about in India?
Right. Right.
Exactly. Where the annual salary of the blind person is $1,000. How he can spend $1,000 on a walking stick, walking device? See, so we have to develop a products which is affordable to each and everyone. Not only the very premium class blind population. Right? So this is what...
Understood.
Yeah. This is what we...
So I'm curious.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a slight delay here. So what is the price point that you're charging for the cane?
So we are charging only $35.
Okay.
And the MRP is...
That makes it broadly affordable, yeah.
Exactly.
So there's a few things that why assistive tech is expensive in the developed, in the global north. Some of that is because there is funding from the state. And and as a result of that, it inflates the prices, because there's no incentive to go to a competitive market. But also, in things where there is a requirement for components like text-to-speech voices, where I've worked in developing assistive technology a long time ago now, but when you said, oh, I want to use this text-to-speech voice for assistive tech rather than gaming, the companies put the prices up because they considered it to be niche. Now, we know that assistive tech isn't niche, that there is a big market, but there was a two-tier pricing system, and basically because they thought that the market was subsidized by government, and because they thought it was low numbers, they would rack the prices up. So some of that is driving the prices in the global north. But I also think that there is, you know, a sort of a real need for pragmatic, affordable assistive tech around the globe. So love what you're doing. So how are you keeping a price point? You said the cane has lots of sensors in. What kind of sensors are you using? Because when we interviewed, I think about 18 months ago, a guy called Tony Lloyd, who's a toy maker, he was using very affordable components in the assistive tech that he was making, and the prices were commensurately small. What sort of sensors are you using? Are you using mainstream electronic components?
So it's very, very normally available in the market. The sensors are used in cars for reverse to finding the distance. The same sensors we are using in different form.
Okay.
And this is how, say, these sensors are produced in Taiwan or Germany or Japan or anywhere in the bulk. So we are not producing a different kind of sensors. We are using the same sensors to make this cane smart. So I'm not here to say we innovated. We innovate some new technology. But I can say we innovated a new business model. Like the same sensor for the different market. And the main part of our business is, this is run by the blind person. Operations are done by the blind person. Also, the training is done by the blind person. So this is for the blind, by the blind, and to the blind. So the authenticity, the quality control, and the trust, which is the one of the key factor, which is already getting on the name of the visually impaired person. Because this is completely involved, like from innovation to R&D to manufacturing to distribution to training. Each and every step, a blind or the visually impaired person is involved. Today also in our staff, 70% are visually impaired.
Honey, I have a question for you and Anil, and then I know Antonio has a question too, but Neil actually comes from the assistive technology background before he, you know, earlier on his career. And I'll put words in his mouth, but I believe while he was working there, he started figuring out that he himself would benefit from using this assistive technology, which I thought was very interesting, learning ourselves. But one thing, we know that these are ongoing problems. Assistive technology not being available to everybody, assistive technology being too expensive, assistive technology only being available in certain languages like English. And I heard the other day, I'm sure this is, there is in India, yes, English is very commonly spoken, Hindi is spoken, but there's like 465 other languages just in India. Just in India. So it's like, wow, my head hurts, right? So the question I have for both of you is, Neil, how have we changed since you started moving into the market? You see what Honey's doing with Torchit, in that he's trying to solve a problem that he feels everybody's ignoring for his country. But are we making progress with the assistive technology industry? Are we doing a good job at making sure that people like Honey are invited into the conversations instead of maybe discounting him because it's like, oh, you're creating stuff. We already did that. But it's like, well, I get you already did that and charged a whole bunch of money, but it doesn't get into the hands of the people that actually need it. So I'm just curious from sort of both of your perspectives. Neil, you've been in the industry longer than Honey, but are we making progress on these things?
Are we making progress? I think we are. I think that there are a lot of things that are assistive in our day-to-day devices. You know, even the cheapest of smartphones are capable computers these days. So there's a lot of assistive tech that is broadly available. I think that there is still a lack of awareness of the importance of cultural context when we're dealing with assistive tech, because a lot of assistive tech is designed in the global north and has a particular view of how people consume tech. So, you know, the idea of, you know, everything being in the cloud and driven from the cloud and being free breaks down when you're in countries where internet is metered, and you know, it costs a lot of money to be able to sort of connect, and again, you know, then it's not robust. So I think that if you understand the cultural context and the geographical context, then it's entirely appropriate for people to produce assistive tech that may have been invented somewhere else, but has a slightly different approach that is appropriate for the region that they're in, which is what Honey's doing. So I'll hand over to Honey.
Yeah, so if we talk about the assistive technology in general, so we are certainly moving very, very fast, because now not only persons with disability require assistive technology, even the older people are require assistive technology. Like, if you can see, like, every railway station in India or airport in the world are having the wheelchairs. Not only hospitals are having the wheelchairs, now every public places are having wheelchairs. This is not only for the person with locomotive disability, it is also the person with old age, right? So we are very fast moving towards the assistive technology in terms of adoption. At the same time, there's a huge, huge demand as well. Like, say, example, if I'm going to a country like China, or say, example, I'm going to a country like Italy. I was in Italy last month only. Very, very few people are talking English. So at the time, I was feeling disability or something. You can say, like, I was using technology, and internet was super, super, super expensive because I was into international roaming. So this is, again, another problematic area, where if internet can be cheaper, then it is not disability for me to roam around in China or in Italy, where people are very much talking about in their regional language. They don't understand English. At the same time, if we can say about the hearing impaired person, there's two type of hearing impaired population. One is who can't hear, and one is who has one side of ear problem. It's a huge population in India specifically. Like, many of, because of this low-cost Bluetooth headphone, many of the ears are getting weaker in India. So this is a huge demand, and a huge market is shaping for people are getting one-sided hearing impaired because of this extensive use of Bluetooth, cheap quality, low-cost Bluetooth earphones or something. So we have to figure out something, because they are partially hearing impaired. Even because I got to know, because I also checked my ear last week only, and I got to know left side I can hear only 80%, and right side I am hear 100%. So partially I am also hearing impaired on left side, 20%, which is very minor, but I am. So I have to take care of this. It won't increase by. Yeah, of course, local save me. But I was roaming 7-8 countries. Like, I was in Europe, so I was in Hungary, I was in Slovenia, I was in Italy, I was in Turkey, I was in Austria. So local SIM can help me, but I am using iPhone, so I cannot and I have a business, so I cannot shut that thing off because I'm getting the calls from India. It might be important, so I cannot.
No, I understand. You need a burner phone where you put your Indian SIM. Set a divert to your European SIM. And the thing is, once you've got a SIM that you bought in Europe, the roaming goes all across Europe. So it's pretty good. But I had to do the same where I am now, because otherwise it would have been prohibitively expensive to use data. But it you're right. I mean, that cost of data stops you from using the assistive features
of a smartphone, yes.
So, honey, I have a question for you that also is focused on the people who started to use the product. So those who have used a traditional cane and now they start using the one that we have made, what changes have happened in their lives? How do they see what impact did the cane had in their lives?
I can say a simple example. People are getting... Okay, let me describe this way. Now people are becoming more explorers. Initially, they can't go around for just walk. Now they have ability, they have confidence. So why not I can also go on a morning walk? People are going on adventures with our cane. People are going for trekking. So it is building a confidence. This is building a new normal for them. Initially, like in India, like basically, a blind person is just going outside, whether it is for the work or for the education, not for leisure. But now they are going for the leisure, like just for a walk, for the market, like I will be also coming with you kind of thing. So this is the impact which our cane is created. So we have a lot of videos on the YouTube. Now people are saying, I am exploring the world with this cane. Exploring the world. Like, it is a new change which is coming into their mind. Because of this AT, I'm not talking about our product only, but a lot of new products are also coming on the smartphones and all those things. People are like becoming more smart, actually, and they are exploring the world. Like initially, they are sitting in the room, but now they're exploring the world. And when you explore, you found new things. So I was telling last, like my talk on Zero Project, so we never thought we will empower them. But today, looking at our numbers, out of 120,000 users, more than 12,000 people, or almost 10%, got the job because of the exploration. So this is the simple answer for your question. Like, people are getting more traveler.
Yeah, and that's something extremely positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's extremely important. I mean, I love travel.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And how beautiful, you're opening the world for them. That's beautiful.
Exactly. Great example. We have developed a new product. So I'm giving you another example. So in COVID times, Government of India is providing free smartphone to every blind person. But at the same time, these smartphones are not useful for the end user. And the government never realized why this is happening. And out of 100 smartphones distributed, 95% are smartphone being sold. Like, a blind person is getting a free smartphone worth about $200, $300. He is selling at $30 or $40 to other blind other fellow to get some food.
Okay.
We realize why this is happening, because they have just distributed the smartphones. They not provided the complete training, complete software, complete ecosystem to learn how to use a smartphone in effective way.
Wow.
Right? So say example, if I'm not using a smartphone, any of this, so all three of you, one of you can give me iPhone. I can't realize what is the value of this iPhone is.
Right.
So exactly. So this is same for the visually impaired person. Suddenly government is providing a $300 phone to a blind person and he doesn't know how to use it. So he will sell it $30. So what we have done is we have provided the complete kit. Complete kit. So we are providing 30 plus application pre-installed and ready to use with the external keyboard. And with this smartphone can work like a laptop, mini laptop, at the same price of $300. And apart from this, we have partnered with the Bookshare, which is Benetech, a US company. So we have partnered with Benetech, and they are providing a full training of the smartphone.
Wow.
And today, a blind person can express their views as well by writing. And now they are becoming a content writers, bloggers, and all those things, social media managers.
Wow.
A blind person is becoming a social media manager. Yeah. He's doing a course in Python. He's doing a course in SEO and the website accessibility. So in last 2 to 3 years, we accidentally developed this product. And it is going super good. The name of the device is, the name of the kit is Master Literacy Kit. Just it.
Honey, you did not really. Will you tell us the name of your company and your website? And then I know that Neil needs to close, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to find you.
Yeah, so we are very much available on the website, even in the LinkedIn, social media, any social media. So our company name is Torchit, T-O-R-C-H-I-T, Torch IT. And our website is mytorchit.com, mytorchit.com. And you can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. And excellent. My email ID is also that's simple, great. Like honey@mytorchit.com. So anyone can reach excellent. Out to me anytime.
So it's been great finding out about the work you're doing, and I think it's really good stuff. And I look forward to the chat continuing on Twitter. So just need to thank my ClearText and Amazon for keeping us on air and keeping us accessible. And thank you to you, Honey, for all the work you're doing.
Thank you so much. This is my duty, actually. This is our duty to make this world more accessible.
So true. So true.
I agree.